On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
I gotta try before I get on drugs. He's like, all right, well, give it a try. Come back and we'll put you on the meds. I never went back in and I never went on the medication. Never missing an event, just being there all the time and doing everything I can to build my business 100% virtual and be home with them. And yeah, if someone can take away from this interview that, hey, I could just like simplify stuff and reduce the overwhelm, then my job is done.
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
Well, howdy ho. Today's podcast is with special guest Ryan Lee. You're going to really dig this dude.
All right, folks. Clinical research has shown that therapeutically, and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices, and they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll it onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits, and inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben. Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor.
Hey, folks. My guest on today's podcast, Ryan Lee, and I go pretty far back. As a matter of fact, not to blow smoke, Ryan, but this guy that you're about to hear me talk to is probably responsible for initially kind of initiating and teaching me just about everything I know in the realm of online marketing and success in the fitness industry. I mean, it was like over a decade ago that I started to delve into Ryan's teachings and website, like some, I think it was like some hokey strength training website with animated GIFs and and like templates for workouts. And I used to sit there at the gym where the Liberty Lake Athletic Club, one of the first gyms I managed, and I'd use Ryan's systems and teachings and software to systematize a lot of what I was doing. And then I started to attend Ryan's conference back in the day in Connecticut, and I learned how to create information products and ebooks and virtual coaching programs and all these kind of, you know, profit generating and information scaling tools that I still utilize quite a bit to this day. But I mean, Ryan is really one of the guys who's responsible for taking me from being a fledgling personal trainer into learning how to scale my knowledge and reach a lot more people. So, you're going to get a chance to learn a lot more about Ryan shortly, because he has a great story and he also has a lot to bring to the table as far as autoimmune disease, which we're going to address in detail today as well. So Ryan is an exercise physiologist. He recently founded a bar company called Rewind. He's written a ton of books, particularly in the fitness and the fitness business industry, like The Millionaire Workout and Passion to Profits. He's been featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. He's been named by Entrepreneur Magazine as the world's number one lifestyle entrepreneur. And he also has a very interesting backstory that's occurred over the past few years in terms of his own personal health journey. So as you listen to Ryan and I chat it up, you can hit the show notes and leave your own questions or comments or feedback or delve into anything that we talk about if you just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Ryan Lee. That's L-E-E, bengreenfieldfitness.com/Ryan Lee. So Ryan, welcome to the show, man.
Wow, what an intro. And I got to say that it's been really, really cool to see your journey. I remember everyone who goes to my events, and I remember you from the beginning, and we hit it off right away. I remember even hanging out at Sam after one of the events, just going out. I was always struck by you. I'm like, man, this guy is sharp. Like, you got it. And not only did you get it, you always implemented it. So it's been so cool to see people like you and some of my other clients, like Jeff Cavalier from Athlean X and Mike Geary, and so many people take this stuff and just go with it and impact so many lives. So, and I'm truly grateful for you then kind of returning the favor and having me on your show today, because I know you reach a lot of great people as well. So this is going to be fun. I'm just here to share and to help as many people as I can.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate your kind words. And I actually remember, Sam, you talking about the one that conference that you put on at the Egyptian Theater in Park City, Utah.
Yeah, in Park City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do recall that. Connected with Garrett Gunderson there, who later went on to become my financial advisor for like 7 years. I remember we all went to my faint memory is that we wound up at a nightclub in Park City afterwards, and one of your speakers, I think it was Mike Koenigs, wound up dancing on stage in a giant dinosaur costume. I believe that was
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. But but I do remember you were one of the guys. Whenever I'd have a product for sale, you know, back in the day you'd watch the receipts come in, and with it, almost without fail, one of the first one, two or three orders, Ben Greenfield Fitness. You went to almost all my events. You were there, you were in the front row, you were taking notes. So now we're ready to rock, baby, and it's just really cool seeing what you're doing. Yeah. So enough. Now we're done blowing smoke. Let's get some stuff out there, Ben.
I figured we could just blow smoke for an hour and people could sit back and listen.
We could do that too.
Completely useless podcast. All right. Sorry, you guys. Sorry, our listeners. We'll get into the good stuff now. So, I think a lot of people perhaps don't realize that you're kind of the godfather of a lot of the online fitness industry, Ryan. And before we delve into what's kind of changed for you recently, from what I understand, you actually got your start as like a personal trainer and strength coach coming from the realm of exercise physiology. But can you kind of give people a background of where you came from as far as going from a fledgling, you know, personal trainer into, you know, a guy who really made it in the fitness industry?
Sure. And actually my first job, some people don't even realize this. I worked for 6 years right out of college in a children's rehab hospital. It was called Blythedale Children's Hospital, and I was a recreational therapist. I was a CTRS, a Certified Therapeutic Recreation Specialist. So I did adapted aquatics. So I took the kids to the pool and did exercise there. We did sports games and fitness, even craft projects. I worked from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. So we would do things like capture the flag at night after all the other therapists had left. So I spent 6 years doing that. And on the side, so in the mornings when I had free, I was a trainer. So I'd go to people's houses. I would go to gyms. I would run speed and agility clinics. I would then, during lunch breaks or dinner breaks, when my hours shifted, I would train young athletes at their house. And that's what I did at night. I put myself through graduate school and got a master's in exercise physiology.
Wait. I'm just going to stop you for just a second. Yeah. Are you saying that you didn't?
I have a lot of stuff.
You didn't start off by getting calf implants and an Instagram channel?
Well, I was practicing the selfie, whatever that the face they did with those lips, the fish lip selfie. I was working on that. So this goes back to 94, and you know, this is when I started at the Children's Hospital, and this was obviously really before the internet took off. So the way I got into the internet, so working at the hospital, and it was like mid 1998. And I just got a computer at home, a compact something. I don't remember what it was. It was like a compact all-in-one with like a floppy disk. We got the internet, dial-up, and I said, you know what? I should have a little website for my sports training company because I was training athletes. And I used FrontPage 98. I couldn't even get that up. So my neighbor, Jonathan, who was 12 years old, I gave him $20, and he helped me get my site up. And I mean, that's what happened. And I started writing articles about training because this was before – obviously before YouTube and Facebook and all this other stuff. And we, you know, back then, Ben, you couldn't have videos online. So it was just articles. Even when I took pictures, they would take 5 minutes to download. So it was just mostly articles.
Yeah. Well, our articles and GIFs. Like I remember when I used to go to a lot of your websites to learn these different strength moves, and you had like software where you could put together workouts for people and then send them to them. There were no photos and videos. It was all those animated GIFs.
That was it. That was the only thing you could do. And no one obviously had smartphones, so you couldn't check it on the phone. So it was these little animated GIF files we created to show all the training. Because by way of my athletic background, so I was a competitive track and field athlete and ran all through college and captained my college track team. So that was my training. So I loved doing speed training. But you're right. We couldn't really even do big photos or videos. So we started doing that online. And lo and behold, this thing just kept growing. I hired a trainer. And some people might know this guy's name, to help me create training programs. So people would pay me like $100 for a sports training program. You know, hey, I'm an 18-year-old football player. Can I have running back? Can I have a training program? They pay me $100, and I hired a trainer to help me create programs. His name was Craig Ballantyne. And he's pretty well known in like personal development and fitness now, and started, you know, runs ETR. So Craig was my first guy I hired back in the late 90s. Then I started selling sports training equipment, like medicine balls and bands. And it just really kind of grew from there. That was the beginning of it. And I started to learn. I started to become more of a marketer as I started to look at my library of books. It was all fitness and strength and conditioning and NSCA. And I was a CSCS and had my ACSM certification. And then slowly, you know, 10% of my books started to become business, 20%. And then eventually it was more business than fitness books. And then I started teaching. You know, other trainers like you would say, hey, Ryan, if you could do this stuff and sell these programs online and ebooks and training, could you help me? I said, sure, why not? And that was where it really began in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting to hear about this because I think I was kind of joking when I talk about calf implants and Instagram, but it really is true that it is much easier nowadays to simply slap up a channel and start putting photos and videos of you working out. And people, a lot of times, will, you know, they'll follow you based on your body or the size of your implants. But you know, there's almost like this lack of folks who are still putting in the hard work. Like, you know, another guy who's getting a lot of publicity right now is Brent Contreras, you know, with his glute lab and his new glute book. And like, he's a perfect example of like kind of an OG in the fitness industry who has run gyms and trained people's glutes for years and years, you know, before there were websites and Instagram. And, you know, it's those kind of people that I think that, you know, if you're listening in, and you're trying to assess whether or not someone's actually real or legit, look into their history. Look into how many hundreds of people they've helped, boots on the ground in a brick and mortar type of scenario, actually watching people move and working with them one-on-one, versus how things have become, you know, largely these days, where you can go straight from a weekend personal training certification into an Instagram channel, into, you know, coaching people or having people buy your product with very, very little experience.
Zero. Like less than little experience. And you're right. I mean, I cut my teeth training clients, training athletes. I did an internship at Yale University, and I worked with their strength and conditioning program. I mean, I was in there. I was doing, you know, cleans and jerks with them. And I even did a research study when I worked at the hospital. And I have a published thing about Osgood Schlatter. Like, we did a whole scientific thing with God, it's crazy. The amount of training I did with clients. But you're right. Now someone could go get you know, look pretty fit, be good looking man or woman, and all of a sudden people are paying them money for their programs, and it's just generic cookie cutter stuff.
Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse, though. I mean, at the same time, we don't have to use cartoons anymore to tell people, you know, which exercises to
do. Nothing wrong with the exercise cartoons.
There's a little more bandwidth than that.
Right. Yeah. And there's absolutely some really good stuff, and it's, you know, the really good fitness professionals and strength and conditioning coaches who know their stuff can now demonstrate it as well. So there's obviously good and bad with both. And people just have to be a little bit more discerning who they choose to listen to.
Yeah. Now, in my estimation, I guess it was, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I could be wrong, but it seems like you went from, you know, putting on a lot of these conferences, training a lot of trainers in the fitness industry, you know, putting out a lot of your books, a lot of your marketing materials, et cetera, and you kind of seem to fall off the map to a certain extent. And it was almost like Ryan Lee disappeared. Can you describe exactly what happened to you?
It was actually more like 9 years ago where things really started to change. I started a supplement company. And I brought on a couple of partners, and we were the back end for a lot of the big online fitness guys. The company was called ProGrade Nutrition. So basically every big trainer was selling our stuff, and things were going really, really well. And I kind of took a little bit more behind the scenes approach of that. And I got out of just strictly working with fitness pros, and I started focusing more on just anyone who wanted to learn entrepreneurship. So I got out of specific fitness industry events, started teaching a little more general entrepreneurship, got behind the scenes with the nutrition company. And my wife and I, at that time, we had just had our fourth child. But then things within, I'm telling you, Ben, it's amazing how your life can change within like 6 months. So within a few months, our top promoter, basically ProGrade, the way it was run, we were an affiliate company, so we only did well when affiliates promoted.
That was a ProGrade Nutrition.
Yeah, exactly. So one of our top affiliates left and started his own company. Okay, cool. What wasn't cool was that all the other top affiliates were friends with this guy and left. So we had just done a multi-million-dollar blanket order for some ingredients that we now owed, and our revenue kind of went off a cliff. Almost overnight. It was pretty shocking. Right around that time, my mom, and she was only 63 at the time, was diagnosed with cancer, and within 3 months had passed away. And then I launched a print magazine that failed after one issue because I'm like, oh, recurring revenue, right? You could charge monthly. And I didn't realize the print, you have to put out issues like 3 months in advance. So I had, and I just spent almost $100,000 doing an infomercial. The day I filmed it, I had a double sinus infection, couldn't speak, and we just tough luck. So we couldn't air it. So it was like I felt like I was basically in a
shit ton of stress building up all at once.
All at once, within months, the fourth child, my mom passing away, the financial stress, all of this hit me, and I started eating more, not exercising as well, and everything just kind of came to this head where, over the course of years, I started getting more joint pain. I was just kind of disappearing from everything. I'm like, I was just tired of everything. And my joints started hurting really badly to the point when I woke up one morning, I could barely walk. And I'm like, all right, there's something serious going on. Like, I was limping. I could not walk. I went to, like most people, if they have this something going on with their body, you know, I went to my MD. He didn't know what it was. I went to every doctor you could imagine. Well, my feet hurt. I went to a podiatrist. I went to a physical therapist. I went to two different chiropractors. Finally, I went to a rheumatologist, and he looked at me. He saw my toes were swollen. My hands were swollen, was asking me my health history, and in about 2 minutes looked at me and said, "You have an autoimmune. You have psoriatic arthritis." I'm like, "What?" And he said, "Yep, that's what you got." I said, "Well, all right." And I have a science. Well, I know that's inflammation. So, you know, what are we going to do? Let's reduce inflammation. He goes, "No, we got to put you on a methotrexate." I'm like, "Wait, what? Methotrexate?" He's like, "Well, yeah, it's chemo. So just make sure you're not around anyone who gets sick." I said, "Doc, I have four kids."
They wanted to give you a chemo drug for autoimmune?
Yeah.
Is that common?
I have no idea, but I didn't stick around to find out, because I said, "Well, it doesn't sound right." He's like, "Well, you have all these things." I don't even remember what he was saying. Something about, "Well, your white blood cells or this, and you have all this going on." So what we basically have to do is, we don't know what's causing it, so we just have to kind of kill everything and then rebuild you back up. He says, "So you'll have to come in like every week or two. We'll do blood tests." And I said, "Well, isn't this dangerous?" He's like, "Well, yeah, there are some side effects, and it could lead to this and potential cancer." I'm like, "Well, what?" I said, "But isn't something..." I said, "The autoimmune is it's a symptom. There's something causing it, right? Like there's a cause and effect. Like there is something causing this inflammation." I said, "If I clean up my diet, try to reduce my stress, maybe change up my exercise program, can't that help?" He goes, "No." I said, "What?" He said, "We don't know what causes it." I said, "Well, I got to try before I get on drugs." He's like, "All right, well, give it a try, and then you know, come back and we'll put you on the meds." And that was, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, and I never went back in, and I never went on the medication.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, you know, I don't want to gloss over this idea of stress, because, I mean, if you now go to PubMed and you do some research on autoimmune disease, like, there is a direct research-linked association or research-based association between basically the neuroendocrine response to stress, right? All these hormones that get released in response to some kind of lifestyle incident, like whether it be a loved one dying or the type of business issues that you went through, or just a whole bunch of, you know, bullets from the matrix getting thrown at you at once. And that can lead to a lot of issues that you can find in the literature on, you know, a huge release of cytokine production, a big dump of inflammation, hypersensitivity to foods, this thing called cell danger response that Neil Nathan talks about in the really good book Toxins. I mean, like you can go from being fine to having some significant, typically it's like leaky gut issues or some type of gut dysregulation or autoimmune disease that manifests directly in response to the neuroendocrine issues that result from excess stress.
Yeah. And I had more stress than I've ever had in my life. And I have zero doubt that was a major cause, a huge part of it. So it was pretty scary though. And basically looking it up and him saying, "Well, then you're not, you know," I loved running and sprinting and playing tennis. And he's basically said, "I have to get on drugs and I'm probably not gonna be able to do that stuff anymore." And now fast forward all of these years later, I'm down 35 pounds. I'm the same weight and pant size I was in high school. I'm not going to say I'm 100% pain free, but I'm probably 95% pain free. There are some times, maybe if the weather, if there's a thunderstorm, I'll feel it in my joints, or if I feel extra stressed or the diet is not pretty clean, I'll feel it, in my joints, usually in my hands. But for mostly it's like, I've never felt better.
Yeah, I do remember, I guess it was probably like 2013, 2014, something like that. I got an email from you. It was not written directly to me. I think it was to your entire audience about how you weren't going to be sending as many emails because you literally couldn't type. Like you couldn't move your fingers to type on the keyboard.
Yeah, it was. It was that bad. And I knew, I still have a little self-test that I do to know if my joints are in pain or not, because it was so bad where I couldn't snap my fingers. It was so painful. I couldn't rub my fingers either together that hard. And even now you could hear me. Oh, yeah. That's when I know if I could snap my fingers, I'm good.
You're snapping, baby.
Yeah, baby. And I couldn't type.
So this doc wanted to put you on chemo. You said no. You walked out. What'd you do? Like how'd you go from being where you're at now to how debilitated you were in that office?
The first thing I did was say, okay, who do I know? Who do I know in kind of the health space and natural space? First person I called was my buddy Brian Kurtz, who at that time was running Boardroom, and they had a really popular health newsletter. And he had connections to every doctor you could imagine, and naturopaths. And I said, Brian, who's the best naturopath in the area? So Brian connected me with this great naturopath, and then we did some tests to see what foods I was most sensitive to. And the ones that came back for me, the biggie was dairy, and then there was gluten was the other one, and the cane sugar was a third one. So the first thing I did was, okay, let me go on a like elimination diet. And reduced, and not just reduced, I eliminated everything, all dairy, all gluten, all sugar from my diet. And almost within like 2 days, I felt better. Not 100% better, but I was able to actually start like walking. And I stuck with that, and I started to lose weight for probably about a month or two, strictly. And it just was really, really hard. I mean, that's all I can say. It was really hard to have zero dairy, zero gluten, zero sugar with, you know, with the kids, with birthday parties, with pizza night, with going. It became harder. So I started, and the naturopath said, it's okay. You could start to slowly add in some of these things, add in a little bit of gluten once in a while and some sugar, see how you feel. And I slowly started to add it in, and I was feeling okay. And then you know what happens over time. You start adding in more. You start getting worse on the diet. Stress level maintained. You know, we're still going through some ups and downs. But eventually, I started, you know, slowly started gaining the weight back. Started getting a little bit more pain until about 2.5 years ago. We went on vacation, my wife and I, with our kids. Came back. I couldn't put my pants back on. I remember trying to put my jeans back on, and I said to my wife, did you wash them? She's like, what are you talking about? No, I didn't wash your pants. We were on vacation. And I went to the doctor. I was sick. I didn't feel well. And he said, I have high blood pressure. And that scared the heck out. That scared me more than my autoimmune, the high blood pressure. And oh my God, am I going to have a heart attack? I'm only at that time, I was like 45. And that was it. You have your kind of, you know, even though we're Jewish, I had my coming to Jesus moment. and I was close. I'm only 5'8". I was close to 200 pounds. And I said, I got to figure this out. And I look back at what worked for me, what didn't work for me, why I fell off my diet, how I started to introduce stress back into my life. And I went on like a simplification, just deep dive. And I said, the first thing I want to do is let me focus on my morning routine. Like, let me not that I was eating a lot of donuts and crap, but I didn't have anything consistent. So I said, let me have something in the morning that I know is going to be healthy, that doesn't have the inflammatory stuff. And I started having bars, and I tried every bar you could imagine. I didn't try your bar. Your bar wasn't out at the time, I don't think, Ben.
My bar's only been out for like 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. It was before your bar. Otherwise I would have tried your bar.
Of course.
So I couldn't find, of course, Ben Greenfield, come on. So I tried different bars, and even though I couldn't find one that I truly loved, at least just having that and having a smaller amount of calories and trying to find things that didn't cause inflammation in the morning, having water, taking supplements, having every day for lunch, having a really good salad. And I'll give you you want to hear my special salad, Ben?
Let's hear your salad. All right. My listeners love salad recipes. They love smoothie recipes. So
okay.
Fill me in.
Now, everyone I tell my salad recipe to, some people like, oh my God, that sounds great. Most people start dry heaving. This is it. I'll take greens. Now, what I found that the greens that I love, a combination, I'll do half of it is spinach, like baby spinach. The other half is arugula. So you get that nice mix of two. I love arugula, the herb, the little flavor. And then a can of sardines with packed olive oil. So I use the olive oil as like the dressing, and I throw in the sardines and I chop it all up. There you go.
All right, folks, clinical research has shown that therapeutically and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices, and they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll it onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits, and inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben. Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor.
I dig it. Now, of course, for people who have autoimmune, because I know we're going to get this question, who are concerned about the oxalates in spinach, because that can be like a high oxalate food. Another really good substitute that's very low oxalate for a leafy green is actually bok choy. You can do that same thing and use bok choy if you're actually concerned about oxalates or joint issues related to that.
Yeah, and you know, whatever greens are going to work for you, great. Like I've found for me, It's been fine, but and I have had bok choy as well, and I've had some combination with different bok choy and spinach and kale. I've tried everything, but it's usually greens with sardines and using the olive oil, and I chop it up, and it's just that's like my go-to lunch. And then for dinner, just trying to eat really good, clean, healthy foods as much as I can. But I now, and what I did was, because I remember last time I fell off, because it was too strict, and I get it, and I totally get it, Ben. And I know some people are like, look, you can never have XYZ, you should never have pie or cookies or pizza, and I totally understand it. For me, it didn't work, so I'm even rewind my company is it's kind of like a fun 80s theme. So I have my 80s methodology where I try to eat really good, clean foods 80% of the time, and 20% I'll have some fun. So especially if we know we're going out tonight and there's going to be a birthday party and my kids, and okay, I'm going to have a, you know, I'll eat really clean today. I'll have a little piece of cake tonight. And I know some people, again, are really strict and they'll never deviate at all. No added sugar, no gluten, no dairy. And if you have dietary concerns or allergies, I totally get it. I'm just saying for me, that's worked. And I've been able to now maintain this for over 2.5 years. No issues, no setbacks, just eating clean 80% of the time.
You never get any flare-ups or anything like that anymore?
The only time I get a flare-up is when I deviate from the 80-20 and I'm like 20-80. So right. if I have a tough day, or I'll have, let's say, two slices of pizza, then it's so funny because I do feel it the next day. And I'm always tweaking, and I'm always trying to try different foods and see what works and see what doesn't. And even as we're recording this, the past week, well, actually past 2 weeks, I said, let me try to reduce or eliminate meat. Let me see how I feel going more of it like pescatarian.
Eliminate meat. You know, okay, I want to hear how, because that's counterintuitive, because a lot of people now, they're like, carnivore diet's one of the best things for autoimmune disease because you eliminate all these protein triggers from plant-based foods.
I know. But I've been trying it. So I went, last week, I went 10 days in a row, no meat. I did have seafood, so I had fish. But no red meat, no turkey, no chicken. And I was feeling like the best I've felt really in a long time. Even though I've been feeling good, like I felt even better. And a couple of days ago, I took one of my kids out after a tennis tournament, and we went to, where'd we go? Chipotle. I said, you know what? I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have chicken. I'm going to try it. And I had chicken. The next day, my fingers were swollen.
Yeah, big part of it too can be the meat, right? Like if it's like a grain or corn-fed chicken or omega-6 laden meat, you know, versus like grass-fed, grass-finished beef or pasture-raised chicken. I think a big part of it can come down to that as well. But basically, the way you went was almost like ultra simple. That was actually the name of Mark Hyman's book back in the day. Like one of the first autoimmune books was The Ultra Simple Diet, you know, where it was just basically eliminating everything that you eliminated. And that's the key for a lot of people who have these kind of autoimmune flare-ups that are related to stress. Now, question for you, because I know you're back east. Are you in Connecticut or New York now?
Connecticut.
Okay. Did you ever look into like Lyme or, you know, mold, mycotoxin, anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah. We got, when they ran the tests for the autoimmune, they did test for Lyme. It came back negative for Lyme.
Okay. Gotcha. What about like heavy metal toxicity? That's another thing that tends to flare up for a lot of people.
I don't recall any of all the blood tests, because I got a lot of blood work. Nothing. The only thing that came up was that inflammatory marker. And I forget the H5. I can't remember the
CRP.
CRP. Yes, exactly. That was the only thing that came out high. Everything they tested for, even the naturopath with heavy metals, nothing came back elevated in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you wind up incorporating lifestyle practices to control stress? Like, did you take up a meditation practice or yoga or anything like that?
Okay. So for stress and even exercise, I went, again, simplicity binge. So we talked about nutrition. For stress, the first thing I did was say, okay, what's causing a lot of stress in my life? What's causing a lot of stress in my business? Even with my relationships, or not even seeing my kids a lot, I was traveling a lot. Back when I was teaching business, I was traveling and speaking. Well, not a lot compared to some people, but, you know, maybe once a month, and it adds up. And I told my wife, I'm done. Like, I am not traveling. I'm not going to any events. And that's why you even said it seemed like I disappeared about 5-6 years ago. That was the thing. I said, I'm done. And for 6 years, I didn't attend one event. And I always get asked to speak at events. Not always, but I get asked pretty frequently, and I say no to everything. And I just did not travel for 5 or 6 years. So that was one thing. The other thing I did was close down or sell whatever businesses I could that were distracting me. I was opening up too many things, doing too many things at once. And I just focused on one business, one company. We just focused everything we could on the nutrition companies to pay off all the debt, and let's just close it. Let's just move on. So simplifying my business, simplifying, getting rid of travel, and just recommitting to my family. And even though they always came first, really being true to my words and making them first and everything, and making sure I coach every sport I possibly can. I still do. Never missing an event, never missing a sports event. Just being there all the time and doing everything I can to build my business 100% virtual and be home with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a big one, the travel, because for me, you know, it's like, you know, the way my life is right now is it's almost like a cycle. I travel because I still travel pretty extensively to speak, to attend conferences, to race, to do all these things that I do. And everything from the Wi-Fi and the solar radiation and X-ray radiation, all the airports that you travel through and the subpar food and, yeah, and you know, the hotels and the places you stay that might have, you know, mold or mycotoxins or whatever, you know, I'm traveling, I'm doing a bunch of damage to my body, even though I try to travel as healthy as possible. And then I basically come home and reboot my body, you know, and I'm here in the freaking, you know, float tank and the sauna, and, you know, doing all these electrical treatments in my basement and kind of like fixing everything. I feel amazing. I feel like $1 million. And then I wave goodbye to the family and go travel again, and then come back kind of sort of effed up. And it, you know, it's a tough cycle. Yeah. I do, honestly, I question sometimes. I'm like, should I just sit at home and write books? Cause that thought has crossed my mind before. And, you know, I sometimes feel as though, yes, I would be doing the world a disservice. You know, it's like, what's that book? I think it's Principle. It's a Principle, the one by Ray Dalio. I forget the new, I think it's Principle. Oh, it's the new. Yeah. Yeah, Principles. Mm-hmm. You know, he talks about how you kind of have to decide where you're going to draw the line between like the maximum amount of impact you can make in the world. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times for me, travel is where I make the most impact in the world. But man, it's also just most damaging to your body from a stress standpoint. And yeah, you spend a lot of time cleaning up the mess, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, the minute I stopped, I mean, it was like this weight was lifted off my shoulders. Because even at that time, my one who's 14 now, she was 9, 10, she would cry like crazy when I said I was going away for a day. And even now, I'll travel maybe once or twice a year. And even now, you're right, I feel it. Like I'll be on the airplane for 5 hours. I'm like, and I think, how do people do this all the time? It just, I physically, mentally, you feel beat up. But the other thing, before I forget, in terms of stress, the other part you asked me, the physical stuff, I go to reflexology a lot, you know, saunas, cold showers, just time to let my mind just be, I used to do the Headspace app, the 10-minute meditation. Now I'll just sit quietly and just breathe, just do deep breathing. The other thing I did was simplifying my fitness, because, you know, we come from a fitness background and there's so many different workouts we know and programs, and you could do heavy lifting and slow and Olympic lifting and kettlebells and all this stuff. And I said, let me just, what's going to be for me the most efficient way to make sure I do something consistently, I get some cardiovascular health and some strength. So I just work out at home. We have a treadmill in our bedroom. I have a kettlebell, a couple dumbbells, a pull-up bar, and I do, my workout takes 20, maybe 25 minutes max, where I'll crank it on the highest incline on our treadmill, about 10 or 12%. And I walk at about 4.2 miles an hour. I do that for 200 meters. See, I'm a track guy, so I think in terms of meters, which takes about, at that pace, it takes about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, 4.2, if I recall, you're only about 5 feet tall, right, Ryan? So that's pretty fast.
Shut your mouth. So yeah, it's very fast. I'm sprinting. So it's about 2 minutes, jump off the treadmill, and I'll do usually a set of 8 to 10 pull-ups, 15 push-ups, 20 different things of core exercise, go back on the treadmill for another 2 minutes, jump back off, do maybe 20 kettlebell swings, come back on for 2 minutes. And I do that until I complete a mile. So that takes about 16 minutes on the treadmill and probably 5 minutes of transitioning and strength exercise. But in like 20 minutes, 22 minutes, I know I'm going to be done, and I break a sweat and I feel good. And I've been doing that pretty consistently for now 2.5 years. And yeah, I do it at least 5 days a week.
Now, what about the, you mentioned briefly reflexology. For people who aren't familiar with that, what is that and how does it work?
So with that, that's just really strong. They work with like the chakras with your feet, the nerve endings on your feet. So it's, for me, it's just an hour of absolute relaxation. It helps also, you know, with the Eastern medicine, they talk about this thing with the lymph node, and this part has your kidneys. And I don't know how much of that works or not, but I do know that when I go two or three times a week, it feels incredible and I feel great. And I feel like it does help with circulation and reducing pain. So it's just, for me, I find that there's a couple places that do it. It's an hour. They start off usually like a neck massage and then they'll do the feet for 45, 50 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is something to that, that idea of energy fields and being able to kind of like free up energy to travel through specific areas of the body when you do that type of deep tissue therapy on specific areas. You know, some people call it qi and, you know, traditional Chinese medicine, but, you know, basically it's kind of like opening up energy fields. And I think there's something to it, you know, this idea, I think the feet would be considered to be the first chakra in Eastern medicine. And many people will feel really good. I even do this with my kids at night. Like I have really good essential oils and I'll just rub essential oil into their feet at night. And even from just a parenting standpoint, it actually really is kind of cool because it's almost like this little massage that you can give your child. It makes them feel really good. You know, for a while we did it with oil oregano and then I used fish oil. And now I actually have this oil. It's called first chakra. It's called root oil. And I'll put that on my feet at night, rub it into my kids' feet. And you just feel really good. It's like this grounding oil. But I really think there is something to the idea of reflexology. There's another book, and I was actually trying to teach myself some of this stuff. You know, also, a lot of times it's on airplanes when I'll mess around with this stuff, like, you know, whether it's hand grippers or breath devices or these books that teach you how to do self-inflicted acupressure, because I'm like a captive audience and, you know, I love to figure out things I can do while I'm sitting around. And there's this book about Marma points, which are basically like these acupressure points all throughout the body. And I bought this book. I'll look on my bookshelf, and for people listening in, I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but it basically walks you through all these different Marma points and exactly how you can target them and where you need to press. And it actually really is cool. Like you can get rid of nausea, you can get rid of headaches, you can induce like immediate stress relief, you know, just by putting pressure, even if it's just you putting pressure, not a therapist, on specific areas your body. So that one's called Marma therapy, but it's very similar to reflexology.
Yeah, it's real. There's a lot of stuff we still don't know that we could take from people who've been doing these things for thousands of years. Another thing I do, just, you know, because I'm on the laptop a lot, and we all tend to lean forward a little bit and get the neck pain, is I will at night, you could start with a tennis ball and just laying on the tennis ball and putting it under your neck and under your, you know, like the occipital part of your occipital bone there, and just having the gravity of your head lay down on the tennis ball, it feels really, really good. Just rolling it around. And if you get brave enough, which I've moved up to now, a lacrosse ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll do it. I'll do this with my kids and they kind of scream in pain. So I get a sick pleasure out of that. But I go back to the tennis ball with them, but it feels really good. So a lot of these things, doing more joint mobility, just feeling, you know, now that I'm 47, just trying to do things that help me move more and more range of motion, more suppleness, as opposed to trying to like do bench press, which I don't do anymore.
Speaking of the occipital bone and that kind of like, you know, using a lacrosse ball or a tennis ball, I actually have one of those. Have you ever seen those peanut based rollers they're almost like two lacrosse balls kind of taped together?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So you can get those, for example, on Amazon, you can get them with little spikes on them. And you can roll those up and down the vertebra. And if you kind of roll all the way up to your neck and just kind of trap it right underneath your neck and then start to turn your head to the left and the right, I do that when I wake up in the morning, and it literally sounds like firecrackers going off.
Bet.
When I hit that thing in the morning, it just pop, 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 pop all the way up the back. And then when you get to your head, I don't know if it's increasing cerebrospinal fluid to the brain or just the tension relief, but it is one of the best feelings in the world when you use one of these spiky balls up and down the back as far as relaxation or just waking yourself up in the morning.
I got to try that. I don't have the spiky ball. What I did was I jury-rigged one where I put two lacrosse balls in a sock. So I got the two tennis balls two lacrosse balls kind of next to each other in a sock, and then I would just roll on that. So I'd have the two ball effect, but I didn't have the spiky one.
Yeah, yeah, I'll hunt it down and I'll find it on Amazon. I forget what the manufacturer, the one
show
I use
notes,
is,
baby, show notes.
I'll put it there in the show notes for you guys. So any other big wins that you're kind of incorporating from either a lifestyle or a recovery or a sleep or fitness standpoint that you found to be big wins for you?
Well, obviously you just said a key one there is sleep, sleep, recovery. I mean, I've always been pretty good with it. I've always been pretty good with sleep. But one thing I'm finding a little disturbing on kind of a larger scale is everyone, especially in the entrepreneurial world, or you see it online all the time, it's the methodology of you've got to hustle, hustle, grind, grind, you know, nonstop 24/7. And it's really dangerous. You look at some of the people talking about this, and these are guys that I'm older than, and they look now, they've aged 10 years in the past 5 years. Like they look 20 years older than me now. They don't look healthy. I think it's like adrenal fatigue. I just think it's a really dangerous thing trying to think that, hey, if I just work harder, I'm going to succeed. You've got to recover. You've got to give your body, your mind, your spirit, whatever. Like just you've got to recover.
You know, I don't think that some of these cats, like, you know, Jocko Willink, you know, putting the photo of him getting up at 4 a.m. every morning to hit the gym, or, you know, David Goggins, or, you know, like the Rock, who will drop into a gym, you know, 1 a.m. when he gets to, you know, wherever he's flying in the world. Like those guys can be inspiring for people who need to just get their ass off the couch and do the hard thing, or, you know, you know, kids who are growing up with a silver spoon mentality who never have learned how to get up at 5 a.m. for a paper route, or, you know, maybe crush the gym for a little while before school. But for the lion's share of people, I think a lot of that mentality does them more of a disservice than a service, because people short themselves on sleep. They think that the only way to get fit is to crush the gym at 4 a.m. And I mean, in many cases, that leads to or contributes to, you know, kind of that slippery slope towards what you wound up experiencing six years ago, when your body just, you know, your neuroendocrine system just shifted into amping up cytokine production. You know, it's almost like the body will eventually put brakes on you, whether it's autoimmune disease or cancer or, you know, or Lyme or anything else that you just become susceptible to because your body hits the brakes.
Yeah, your body knows. Your body needs the rest and recovery. So I know what you're saying, though. People do need sometimes, like, I think we've gone so far on the other end of the spectrum where we just overcoddle the kids. You know, everything's going to be okay, little Benny. Like, everything's going to be fine. Don't work hard. Like, we teach our kids hard work, but you also need sleep and rest and recovery. And that's been a big part of my health journey is really doing that, and not feeling guilty too, like not feeling guilty about shutting your computer off. And for everyone's got their kind of downtime stuff where you want to recharge your batteries. Some people like going for a hike. I'm sure you love probably doing your triathlon training and biking and running and swimming, whatever crazy stuff you do. For the people who don't do that stuff, for me, I like at night after I put my kids to bed, sometimes I'll read a fiction book, like a political thriller. I'll watch some Netflix and not feeling guilty about that. I think if you put in a good day's work and you're really super productive and you focus on the big stuff, you can rest your head knowing, okay, I gave it a really good effort today. Now let me have a half an hour, an hour of just, you know, unplugging. Shut your phone off. I don't even have my phone in my room. When I come home, my phone goes off. Even my kids don't have phones. The only one who has a phone is my one who is a junior in high school. My three other kids don't have any phones. So like, we're not a big screen family.
Yeah. Yeah. See, we have screens. My kids have an iTouch that they use because they have a little podcasting business now, and they use the voice memos on that to record and the photos and the videos to upload. But what we do is I switch everybody's phones, even my wife's, and I taught them how to, if you Google this, it's called the iPhone red light trick, and you can program the phone where if you press the home button three times, it sucks all the blue light out of the phone. It makes Instagram and everything else suck because it's all boring and your phone does not keep you up. It's also not that much fun to use, and it's way better than the built-in night shift mode. So we all just switch our phones to that at night, and they're kind of like these, you know, these boring devices that don't make any light and don't have a lot of colors on them. So, you know, for me, that means if I need to check something before I go to bed, it's not going to suppress melatonin production at all.
Oh, I never even heard of that.
Yeah, it works really well. If you Google it, it's red phone or iPhone red light trick. So
okay.
It works really well. You know, whenever I'm hanging out at a friend's house or I'm out at dinner and people look at my phone, they're like, how the hell did you do that? Because it's way different than night shift, but it works at night, you know, and plus you don't have to put on those horrific looking, you know, red colored blue light blocking glasses when you're out at a restaurant or whatever. So
yeah, weirdo. We also have another thing that works well. For the electronics and stuff in our house, old school, we have a safe in our bedroom, in the bedroom closet, and all the kids' electronics all go in the safe, you know, because they do have an iPad and stuff. But
what do your kids think about that? Do they dig it, or is it kind of a chore for them?
They don't really. Well, my two youngest are fine with it. My 14-year-old is fighting back. She's like, wait, why can't I have a phone? We're like, no, you're not having one. So we definitely bump up against a little bit of resistance, but you know, we're the parents. You know,
I have a different parenting philosophy. I actually let my kids spend as much time as they want on their phones. Like, there's not a rule, they don't get taken away. But basically, mom and I, once about 9:30 rolls around, like, we're pretty much we're nose down in books or playing musical instruments. So our kids, like, all they've grown up with is at nighttime. There isn't really phone time or screen time, not because you're not allowed to, but because we're basically breaking out all these other activities. Actually, board games are a third. So usually it's books, music, or board games. And so if you come to the Greenfield house, like after 9, like pretty much everybody's either curled up in bed with a book, sitting on the couch playing a guitar, or we're gathered around the dinner table playing a board game. So for our kids, we just try to present them with alternatives that make the screen less attractive at night.
Yeah, that's great. Whatever, you know, like everything in life, if you find something that works for you and for your family, that's great.
So you mentioned, I know you're kind of back in the fitness industry now. You're doing some things. Doesn't sound like you're getting around and speaking and traveling as much, but you've got, are you pretty much now just doing this bar company?
Yeah. Right now, that's my entire focus, is just our vegan, gluten-free energy bars. It's 95% of my focus. I'll still write a daily ish email about business or leadership or things like that. But it's pretty much right now my nutrition company. And that's, again, going back to that philosophy of simple, like, what's the one thing I need to focus on? But as you know, Ben, it could be a challenge, because if you're an entrepreneur, I mean, how many ideas come to us? It's all day. It's nonstop. And sometimes it's hard to turn off. And there's other things that look attractive. And you're like, oh, man, I could just try this, or I could do this. I could do this product. And it is a little bit of a challenge to resist.
Yeah. Yeah. So the bar, as far as that goes, you said it's plant-based, gluten-free, and anything else special that kind of makes the bar stand out aside from the old school 80s nostalgia and the name Rewind?
the thing we're really most proud of is, well, we do a couple of things. So we call them sneaky greens. So we add kale and spinach into the bars, and we have some fruits for antioxidant power, strawberries and blueberries. But the big thing is we just focus on the flavor. Going back to flavors that people grew up with that really love that thing, because it's got, you know how it is, even with your bars, like, they got to taste good, right? You could have the healthiest bar in the world, but if people don't like the way they taste, they're not going to eat them. So our newest flavor is cinnamon coffee cake. But there's no artificial flavors or sweeteners, and it tastes really good.
I dig that idea of flavor, but then I think some companies will go the opposite route, and I don't want to throw these folks under the bus, because Tom and Ron, who run this company, they're friends of mine, but you know, like Quest, if you eat a Quest bar, like, they've nailed flavors like, you know, birthday mm-hmm. cake flavor and right. I forget what else, you know, kind of like Bang energy drinks. They got the margarita flavor, but yeah. at the same time, when you see how that flavor is achieved, like there's a little bit of chemical action going on there. I'm not a yeah. fan of like some, like basically if it tastes like birthday cake, it's tough to get that flavor without bastardizing the product just a little bit as far as the
yeah.
the artificial sweeteners and all that jazz go. But yeah, some of these other flavors, you know, I know you guys have like an almond butter and jelly. You mentioned the cinnamon coffee cake, like some of these stuff that's more nuts, cinnamon coffee. Like
yeah.
you can actually nail a pretty good ingredient profile and a good flavor profile with that type of combo.
Oh, absolutely. And the other one is coconut chocolate chip. And we have a mint chocolate coming. So we're not going to totally jump to shark and go birthday cake because you're right. It's really hard to do that. I mean, but we're still, no matter what we do, we're never going to have anything artificial and use things like sucralose. We're always going to try to have a clean bar. And you know, with yours as well, it's just not easy to do. I just want to put something good out there that tastes good, that people like. And I know that people are going to have different bars. They're going to have different products. They'll have yours. They'll try mine one day. Maybe they'll try a Quest bar. They'll do an RX bar. Like, cool. And if you like ours, great. If you want to have it as part of your day, great. And if you find something else that's good for you, that's great too.
Yeah. And then of course, the litmus test for the bar, though, is whether or not you make a bodybuilder, horrific, clear the elevator whey protein fart after you've had the bar.
We have no whey protein. We're dairy free. We're vegan, so we obviously don't have any dairy or eggs or even honey. But yeah, no whey protein in ours either. No,
yeah, it is kind of funny because, yeah, speaking of like traveling to fitness conferences and stuff, you go to some of these big health expos, especially the ones that are really, really focused on the hardcore fitness crowd. And, you know, you walk around the expo and, you know, there's bars everywhere. And when they're chock full, the whey protein isolate, the sucralose, the acesulfamide potassium, the two things that I find most notable, especially a lot of these bodybuilding type of conventions, is A, people look pretty good from afar. But then as soon as you get close, you can see like their skin's all red and inflamed. And
oh,
there's
yeah.
acne and wrinkles. And a lot of this stuff is related to the oxidizing inflammatory effect of this packaged food that they're eating. And then B, it's kind of like walking through the airport. There are horrific fart clouds everywhere. And I'm pretty sure it's related to the ingredients of some of this
it's
stuff.
It's definitely related to the ingredients. Yeah. And a lot of, you know how it is, like the bodybuilders, they don't really look healthy and they're soft too. Like they'll be yeah. big, but they're kind of soft and they're not athletic. But the way they eat is just, yeah, it's not always the healthiest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, granted, you could say the same thing about the other sport you know, you recently brought up, like triathlon. Like I'd run into the same things a lot of times, the Ironman triathlon. But in that case, it's kind of the opposite. It's like the sugars, right? The fructose and maltodextrin. And they're really heavy into the endurance or the sugars on that side. And then the nasty
power
proteins
bars,
and calorie-free sweeteners on the other side. Yeah. The power bars.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on not making a bar that results in multiple fart clouds, Ryan. I'm proud of you.
Well, we are, and on the packaging, we're fart cloud free. That's going to be our new tagline. No fart clouds. Yeah. Yeah. We don't want
awesome.
Them. Yeah, awesome. Go get a whey bar.
Have you blogged about your journey in recovery from autoimmune, written any articles, contributed any books or anything like that? Or do you have any other information out there where people can find out more about your journey?
You know, it's funny. I did an article about it, but even as we speak, depending when this goes live, I'm rewriting it and adding a lot more detail. So I'm going to detail out my exact nutrition program, my exact fitness stuff. So I'm writing one as we speak. So if they go to tv.rewindbars.com, by the time this goes live, it'll be up there and we'll have links to it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'll link to that for you guys in the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Ryan Lee. Ryan's got a discount code. If you do want to try his bars, 20% off, use code Greenfield. You can try out his bars. There is no birthday cake flavor. I'm sorry. But the cinnamon coffee cake does sound pretty good. And
free, baby. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Send them to me. I'm hopping on the plane to Dubai in about 6 days to go over there and speak at a few conferences. So yeah, if you send them out, that'll be my fuel on Emirates.
Sweet.
Will be the Yeah. And then everything else that we talked about, I'll hunt down that beastie ball roller we talked about, some information on reflexology, some information for you guys on the scientific link between stress, particularly in autoimmune disease, which I think is one of the biggest lessons you can take from Ryan's story is nip the stress in the bud before your body slows you down. I'll link to all that stuff as well at bengreenfieldfitness.com/RyanLee. And in the meantime, Ryan, a couple of things. A, thanks for, I don't know if I've ever said this to you before, but just, thanks for everything that you did to kind of light the path and lead the way, in terms of teaching a lot of us in the fitness industry how to take our information and scale it and hopefully make a lot more impact in the world. And B, thanks for sharing this story with us and for hopefully inspiring a few people and teaching a few people about how they can battle autoimmune through just like simplicity with diet and simplicity with lifestyle, simplicity with travel, simplicity with fitness. I think it's a really smart approach.
Well, I appreciate it. And thanks for your kind words. And I'm going to add a C onto A, B, and C. Just thank you for doing what you're doing and continuing to change lives and for having me on. Let's like C, D, and E. But this has been great. And yeah, if someone can take away from this interview that, hey, I could just like simplify stuff and reduce the overwhelm, then my job is done. So thank you. Thanks for giving me and so many other people a platform here to do this, Ben.
Awesome. Awesome, Ryan. All right, folks. Well, I'm Ben Greenfield along with Ryan Lee signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have an amazing week. Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at BenGreenfieldFitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.